Let us pray together. Almighty God, for the gift of this day, we give you our thanks and for bringing us together for a time such as this, a meeting with you. You have come close to us now, and with open hearts, with open minds, with open lives, we are now ready to receive what it is you would say to us today. We recognize that in the course of living our lives, so often we have sought to go our own way, to continue to seek advantage or favor according to the way of this world. And we have kept one another, we have kept our neighbor, and sometimes even kept you at arm's length that we might seek security, even if just for a little while. We remember today that when our Lord Jesus prayed for his disciples, he prayed that they would be one. That they would be one. That the world would know that you had sent him. That kind of unity is hard to achieve. It's virtually impossible to maintain. There are too many broken relationships, too many personal preferences, too many individual needs and wounds and hurts that would threaten to keep us apart. But today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray for healing of broken hearts and minds, lives and relationships. That this body, Yates Baptist Church, would be strengthened and brought together by the power of that same Spirit, the Spirit that gave life to the dead Jesus in the tomb and raised him to new life, is also the Spirit that grants us life today. Praying for that power, for that purpose, for that hope, that we might conduct a life together and speak words of such amazing grace that a watching world can't help but know what you have done, what you are doing, and what you shall do in Jesus. So be with us today. Teach us how to be one today. Bless the work of our hands, the words of our mouths, that they would reflect and glorify you, not only in this space, but every hour of every day of every week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. And sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life and brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the
five. You may not stand behind me. What a privilege to be together today in worship. And by together, I mean all of us together. There is nothing that divides us in Jesus. And Emily and the choir and the music, thank you for reminding us of that.
No, I couldn't Emily, but sibling I don't let that week. Why you hula?
Today, as we celebrate our unity, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter
3.
We will read verses 26 through
29.
So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for you all were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs, according to his promise.
No, awen mi bahado so abrahani nikami wala so ise akli ithan la baka pali so si let me read it. Galati sadotho sabo kisi khu dawda agidi e thuwe kella thume yo apola tana yesu kri holo agidi phe pado blaza su kri pu tapha ni mi akuro so ro kri lo wa yuda bodo o wa hele bodo o wa ku bodo o wa dble bodo o Papamuto, Papoquato Oba, Agidi, Thumita Tamigo Kella, Le Yishukri, Apulo, Do Thumimicri Atado, Thumiso Abra, Clitha, Do Puani Bathara di Tassi Bathonino.
So I want to ask a question today.
Yeah, do think what bo?
What does Jesus look like?
Because I should quit Loga Dile.
In the incarnation of Christ, God made a face-to-face meeting with humans by taking on flesh, being born as the baby Jesus, so that we would see the face of God in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15
says,
the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. God has made us for personal face-to-face relationships. And the church is a place to celebrate those relationships. In a local congregation, we make friends. Those friends support us when we are hurting. And they encourage us in faith. But in addition to our friends, it is important to remember that here we continue to meet God. That is what happens in worship. It is a meeting with God. God has arranged a meeting with us. A meeting to challenge us. A meeting to assure us of a relationship. And to offer healing and hope. In times and places like this, there is a promise in 1 Peter 1:8. Speaking of Jesus, Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. All of those personal encounters with God come by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Jesus promised when he was taken from the apostles' side. Like the Christians in Peter's letter, we cannot see Jesus. We cannot see Jesus like Mary did. We cannot see Jesus like Peter did. And sometimes I wonder if Jesus walked into worship today, would we recognize him? How would he dress? How would he smell? How would his voice sound? What would he like to eat? The Bible does not help us here. They do not give us a physical description. They use Isaiah 53 to describe him. He was not beautiful and he was not considered majestic. Isaiah 53:2-3 says, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by humans. A man of suffering. Familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. So we should not be surprised that when we look around the world, or back in history, we see many different faces of Jesus. One of the earliest pictures we think of Jesus is this piece of graffiti scratched on the plaster of a room in the first century in Rome. It may be hard to see, so here's just the outline without all of the rock around it. In rough Greek letters, the text says, Alexamenos worships God. It might say, Alexamenos worships his God. The picture is insulting a person named Alexamenos, who is worshiping a figure, a human crucified with a donkey's head.
No, I went in the Baweda, Kacham the Galene, Wakanyo, Tugala, Bata Ludoro, Akutaki, Dizakasezo.
That's a far cry from the image that we find in just about every church I've ever been in.
I went in it to make Kasashukriba, Miwada, Kasashukri, Atu, Lerta Buto, Bato, Lerpora Bawana.
Maybe this was your Jesus too.
No, Babani, I went in it to mean the Kasashukri the Gaiba.
There are some sculptures from a Christian coffin from about 200 or 300
AD.
On the left, Jesus is talking to Peter. And talking to Paul, Jesus is the one without the beard. On the right, Jesus is making his triumphal entry. Again, no beard. It may surprise you to see that early Christian art showed Jesus as young, fresh, and light. In most pictures and sculptures, he worked wonders in the world. He did not look burdened or sorrowful. He looks a lot like the pagan sculptures of Apollo. It's as if the Christians are saying, here is the true light bringer. Above all, in these images, he looks like a fine Greek or Roman. That's not surprising. Don't we all want to see a part of ourselves in those we follow? This is why I think it is important to have many different types of leaders in worship and church. Different faces and voices. Different colors of skin and ages. Men and women. Children and old. All leading together. If we are a church that wants to reach out to the whole city, we need to show that in the way we live together. So as I thought about it this week, I thought about Yates's mission partners around the world, in Haiti, in India, and today, in Burma. How might Jesus look in their eyes? This beautiful picture of Jesus by Wilfred Dalius shows us Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. His dark skin. The land and the plants. And the daily life of the poor around him show us Jesus in the strong colors of Haitian art. Maybe this is how Jesus looks in Haiti. What about this picture? From an artist in India. This is a picture of Jesus' transfiguration before his apostles. This is a very different Jesus than the Haitian Jesus. Here we see Buddhist and Hindu costumes and themes.
Na bu kiti ba le awe Buddhist me ge awe Hindu me ge.
But they find new meaning in the presence of Jesus and his power.
Akwe ne pe awe zi ha ke su ki na ke khri na ke ni ti we Yeshu ake wo atao phla lo cho.
Or what about this piece from Burma?
Awe mo le Yeshu le awe ko bi yo ko mo.
This is actually a Japanese comic book. Translated into Burmese. It's a way of telling Jesus' story with the hope that young people would be able to hear it. These manga will plant seeds for others to begin growing a garden of disciples. And it reminds me that no one culture is alone anymore. But I love this picture by Sister Star, a nun from Burma. It shows Mary and the child Jesus looking like many of the families that worshipped here this weekend. The hair, the clothes, the faces would surely help the Burmese to reflect on this child's importance. This child is God with us. This child is the Word made flesh. This child would say to all, "Come, follow me." I think you get the idea. We take this trip around the world with Jesus to show the different cultures find creative ways to imagine Jesus. In some ways, this is very good. It reminds me that Jesus is not my Jesus. Jesus was, is, and always will be for the world. For God so loved the world that he sent God's only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It also reminds me then when I make Jesus too much in my image, I may be in danger. I may miss the point. I'm not just talking about what my picture looks like. But as the great preacher Tony Campolo once said, God made us in God's own image. And sometimes we return the favor by making God in our image. When I find out that Jesus likes all the things I like, and Jesus hates all the people I hate, I may be making Jesus in my image. And he would be an idol. So, as we read in Galatians today, The Apostle Paul paints a picture about the ways we separate ourselves from one another.
So Paulu tamu pun itu wajar le. Di todo penopa peke pelue petaketu asuni teban no parake lesan pemit demikon.
Slave and free.
No neke pua kua neke pua sablivua.
Jew and Greek.
Neke pua yuda pua pua hilivua.
Male and female.
Neke pua muga pua.
It is not a complete list. We always want to try to find a favored place in the world. As long as we are where we want to be, we are happy to keep others out who are different. But the scripture tells us today that these divisions have no place in the church and they betray God. Remember, when we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three divine persons living in perfect love, perfect fellowship, and perfect unity.
No, I want you are to go when he had a subto, lepa saga, a key water, has over that ta eta quita huta port nilo.
And so we say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God.
I want to put it up, pa, poqua, that's a similar, you are to go.
One plus one plus one equals one.
Hallelujah.
And so Jesus expects those who say they know him and love him, he expects them to live like that with each other. You all are one. If Galatians had been written in North Carolina, we would hear it this way. You are the church. Y'all are one. So point to yourself. And say, I am one. Point to someone else and say, you are one. The miracle of church is that we can also say we are one. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for the time he would be gone from their sight, he said in John 13:34-35, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. And so it's not about painting the perfect picture of Jesus. The Gospels do not tell us what Jesus looked like. They told us everything we need to know by remembering what he said and what he did. If we are going to tell the truth about God, our life together will be the picture of Jesus the world needs to see.
Amen.
After all, John would later write to the church where he was leading in 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us. And God's love is made complete in us. Let it be so. Let it be now. Let it be. Amen.
Amen.
We now come to a time of reflection, looking at our own lives, a time when we open our hands and we give, practicing our generosity. And it is also a time to consider what we hold back from God. Even as we give generously, there may be a part of you that is now being called forth as we reflect together on what has been shared today and how the Spirit speaks to you. As Courtney leads us, I invite you to pray and to respond.